Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another beautiful day out in the bush. And welcome to No Mask Sunday. As you well know, the state government has now removed the requirements for a mask, and we don't have to sign in up with a QR code. But just because we don't have to wear a mask doesn't mean we shouldn't wear one. If you're at all uncomfortable with the circulation of the coronavirus right now, let me encourage you to go ahead and put a mask on. I'll have mine on at different times today. So you do what makes you feel comfortable in our current environment. Today I want to read a passage of scripture for you that is widely known and widely used. This chapter is a Christian classic, and some people say that it's even a literary classic. Well, I'll let you decide that. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, commonly known as the love chapter. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and it is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and most importantly, love never fails. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to explain some theological things, which we won't get into, but then he finishes up on verse number 13. But now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Most of us have heard this magnificent chapter applied in a wedding ceremony. And the truth is, it's important information for a couple within a marriage relationship. But Paul was not thinking of couples when he spoke or wrote these words. Paul was addressing the church. You and I, who are members of the body of Christ, this information is for us and how we interact with each other. Don't know if you've thought of that before, but it's a mandate for the body of Christ. And I'll get into it a little bit further, but first let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the morning you've given us. Thank you for the day. Thank you for the relaxation of the restrictions. Thank you for this magnificent passage of scripture that has been used so much. Now, Father, help us to take it and apply it in the interactions of the church. Open our eyes, lead us through the Holy Spirit. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you recall last week, we discovered the amazing way that God has put the body of Christ, that's you and me if you're born again, He has put us together. We learned that all of us are placed in the body of Christ just exactly like the Lord intended. And He has given each of us an amazing gift to be used within that body. So literally, we are supernaturally gifted and empowered to be a vital member of the body of Christ. Jesus has given us that, to operate in the body. But then Paul makes a statement that makes us scratch our head. 1 Corinthians 12:31. So you earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Let me show you a more excellent way, or as some translations say, let me show you a way of life that is best of all. You ready for this? So what's better than living a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered life in the body of Christ? There is something better. And what is it? It's simply a life of love. Or should I say love in the church body? This is not the love that we see on TV. It's not the love that you see in the magazines. It's not even the love that you see between most people today. The love that we're talking about is a love that was created by God for His church to live in a world that knows little more than feelings and emotions. So what does this kind of love look like? Well, first Paul starts off with a comment. He says, if you don't have this kind of love in your life, then everything else is useless, or should I say, it amounts to nothing. All the giftedness, all the talent, all these things that we have or say we have, if they're not motivated by real love, they're nothing, zero. You see, there's a lot of spiritually gifted people running around making a lot of noise, and if they're not motivated by this love that we're talking about, then all they are doing is making noise. And there's a lot of noise today. So what does it really look like? This love that's created by God, what does it really look like? Well, let's dig a little deeper and find out. Paul writes, real love is patient and kind. All of a sudden, we see that a lot of us have a problem with living out real love. You see, real love will cause you to be patient with everyone in the church. And real love will cause you to be kind to everyone within the church. And not only that, but it'll cause you to be kind and patient with everybody, but particularly in the church. So, are you patient and kind? Something to think about. Next, real love does not envy or boast. Now, check yourself closely. Do you envy somebody else and what they've had, or what they have, or what they're going to have? Or do you boast about how good you are, or your physical abilities, or what you possess? Do you brag? Then real love is missing in your life. Next, Paul says, real love doesn't insist on its own way. Oh boy. This one would be a good one to make application in the traditional Baptist church meeting. And I just praise the good Lord that our church is not a traditional one. We have magnificent business meetings, but all of you know what it can be like in some business meetings. But you see, real love doesn't insist on its own way. Do we? Do we demand that we have our own way? That we get things done the way we want? That's not real love. And then Paul continues, real love is not provoked. You see, with a person who has real love, you don't walk around walking on eggshells, wondering if you're going to offend them if they have real love. You see, if they're easily offended, then real love is missing. Next, Paul says, real love keeps no record of wrongs suffered. So a person who has real love lives for the present and the future and doesn't carry around the baggage of the past. If you want a good example of that, look at a dog. A dog is always happy, seems like all the time. And why? It's because they live in the present. They live in the present. So if you want an example to follow, find your favorite furry friend. and follow their example. And then Paul says, real love does not rejoice in evil or wrong, but does rejoice in the truth. You see, a person who has real love is deeply troubled by the evil that they see. And they understand the damage that that evil can cause, particularly within the church. And they will confront that and to remove it, only to restore the love and the unity within the church. But you see, they only do that, keep in mind, to restore the unity. And the reason they take this action is because sin destroys. And it destroys families, and it'll destroy churches. Now Paul writes something that pretty much summarizes everything that he said. Verse number 7, love bears all things, love believes all things, it hopes all things, and endures all things. You see, a person with real love can take a lot, and they are strong, they are kind, they are resilient, and it is this kind of person that everyone wants to be around. You see, a person with real love believes all things. They don't go looking for hidden meanings in what people say. They take people at their word. They take them at their face value. And they always hope for the best, never, ever expecting the worst. Do we do that? Or we expect a negative outcome? And finally, Paul says in verse number 8, love never fails. Let me say it again. Love never fails. Listen, this one statement alone proves that it's not the kind of love that we see in our culture and in most people today. You see, we live in a disposable society where people can be thrown out as quickly as the trash. Real love doesn't do that. You see, real love is what we should be living out every day of our lives, particularly in the church, and that's what Paul intended by writing this. So now you can see why a real life of love is much, much, much better than the culture of the spiritually gifted. I believe if we live out the love that God created us to live, that would be the next best thing to heaven. And I honestly believe if we would live the real life of love, then our numbers within our congregation will do nothing but explode, all because of love. Because you see, everyone wants to be around people who know how to love. So, my question, do you know how to love? I mean, real, godly, spirit-ordained love. Do I? Folks, we need to live that way if we want what we do to mean anything. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this beautiful passage of Scripture that applies to couples and it applies to the church. And Father, I pray that we will live this way. Search our hearts, Lord, and see where we are and show us if there are some things that need to change. Because help us to be a shining example of love in a very, very dark world where people are always fighting and hating and questioning. Help us to live a real life of love that is honest, kind, trusting, and dependable. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.